Welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis, the group of many who speak as one. And here to introduce you to Galexis is the channel, Ginger Metro.
Hello, and welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis. My name is Ginger Metro, and I'm the one who channels Galexis, who will be with you shortly. I've been channeling Galexis since 1988, and Galexis has always been a wonderful inspiration for personal empowerment on my life path. And so that's why we named this show Path of Power, because if you are in your power all the time, you can make choices, you can create realities that are harmonious for you, and you can manifest what you like in your life. Galexis is a group of beings on various levels and dimensions who've come together, and they speak as one. Initially, they came as individuals to me, and it was just, you know, going in and out and in and out and in and out. And with their compassion, they decided to come together in one and just hand the mic back and forth between them. So I only have to go into trance once, and I have the resources of a huge group of beautiful, loving beings. And they bring in specialists in various things from time to time. So it's always interesting what shows up and what comes out. So I'm welcoming you to this show today, and this is your first time, then now you know who Galexis is, and if you've heard me before and heard Galexis before, you know what to expect. I'm going to go into trance shortly, and I'm going to be quiet for just a few seconds, and then Galexis will come on the line, and they'll say, all right, we are here, and they will give a little discussion about what's next now that the election has happened, and what's up for the world, and what's ahead. And then after that, they will open the lines for you to call in and ask your questions. And you will find there on your screen the phone numbers to call. And so without any further ado, I'm going to head on out, and I may or may not return at the end of this show. So I just want to say right now in advance that next week is going to be Tall Cat Psychic, and basically we alternate. We are on the first and third Monday, and they're on the second and fourth Monday, and we swap off on the fifth Mondays when they happen up. So hope you have a wonderful time with Galexis, and I'm going to be heading out. So bye for now. All right, we are here, and we are Galexis, and we welcome you to this radio show, and we're talking about what's next this evening. Now, since our last show, which was the night before the election, this election in this United States has elected Barack Obama to be the next president, to be the 44th president of your United States. For those of you who have voted for Barack Obama, you must be delighted, perhaps a bit exhausted, a bit celebratory, and in a sense, after the drive, the incredible movement forward of the whole election process and all the debates and the politicking and so forth, it's almost a kind of a after effect, to just kind of to drop out so much energy in a sense. But there's still a lot to do. So if you voted for Obama, it's important for you to continue to do certain key things. We know that you have probably meditated for this result of the election, and we congratulate those of you who worked in such tandem, working with so many light beings on so many levels, in order to pull through a vision of change, to put your ideas, your energies, your light into this campaign, so that the energies that you wanted, the vision you saw, could come forth. You need to continue these. And we'll say why. First of all, you know, the election of the president doesn't necessarily mean that everything is going to go smoothly. Even though so many around the world are celebrating with you, there are so many who are not celebrating with you, or who are thinking about what they can do to bring Obama down. There are people who have galvanized themselves as his enemies, those who wish him badly. And so, first of all, we would suggest that you continue to put him in light, to surround him with protection. However you ask for it, to pray for his protection. That's the first step. The second step is that now that you've gotten him in, you need to look at where do you want this to go? What do you want to unfold in your United States and in your world? What kind of energies do you want to be present? Where do you wish people to feel, you know, do you want people to feel in their heart? Do you want them to be thinkers and feelers? Yes, you do. You want people to talk. You want people to discuss. You want people to come to consensus to the best possible way you can. And so put this vision in there. Put in the vision of harmony. Put in the vision of working together across the aisle, so to speak, so that you can bring the energies of peace and harmony into your vision. And imagine, what is it that you wish for your United States? What do you want in your world? See that happening in the future. Envision it in the future. And imagine Obama participating in your vision. You got him there. Why not let him continue working with you and you with him? There's a lot ahead. There are many crises, huge obstacles ahead, tremendous tanglements that have to be sorted out, that have to be unraveled, understood, and realigned. The realignment is where you want to come in, because you want things to realign to peace and prosperity, to love, to consideration, to tolerance. You want a lot of opportunity for people to be more free in their personal lives, to have more joy, to have more fun, for people to be healthier, to be able to turn around health issues. Now, we would suggest that you don't have to imagine and dream the government doing it for you. Because if you do that, then you're basically giving too much power to your government. What you want to see, though, is that you and your government are part of a force that you have in part created, a flow on this planet, and that you and your government are working together. You know, initially it was stated a government for the people, by the people. You know, so you are the people. It's your government. He's your president. All right? Give him the light. Send to him in your mind the wisdom that's needed to deal with these incredibly challenging circumstances, such as the economy. If you did not vote for Obama, we ask that you begin your healing process if you've not already done so. Not to get in despair, not to get enraged, not to be angry in a sense saying, okay, I tell you, he's going to go down. So he's not a good person. He's wrong. You'll see. and to keep looking for every flaw that he might utter or make. You know, you're going to have to give him, in a sense, some grace if you want to live freely, comfortably, and joyously yourself over these next 4 years. We would recommend that if you voted against him, we would suggest even more strongly that in your meditations, that you send to him the right thinking, the ways to get through the deep issues, to send him your support, to send him your love. We had so many who complained to us about President Bush and how much they were so upset with him and so angry with him. And we would continuously say to him, well, you know, what if you stopped judging him? Can you? Can you stop judging him? Now, when we say judging, you know, that doesn't mean that you don't disagree with him, that you have to agree with everything. But we would say, you know, stop judging him. We say that to those of you who did not vote for Obama, who perhaps thought him that, you know, agent of the devil or whatever. But to look at that, to say, okay, what if I removed my judgment from him, the person, stopped trying to see him destroyed and imagine him destroyed, stopped trying to be angry and projecting all sorts of fears upon him, to instead wish him and surround him with love and light and wisdom to make the best choices that he can. It takes a bit stronger and perhaps a bit greater stretch, if you voted against him, to do this. But we see, for those of you who voted for him, we also recommend that you do not judge him. And at the same time, don't be just unconscious about it. In other words, okay, we got him in, now we don't have any more to do, we'll let him take care of it all. No, give him the support he needs to take your visions and dreams into reality. And those of you who voted against him, what kind of future do you want for your country? Do you want tension and fighting and bitterness and attack? Do you want more fear? Do you want more anger? More battling? More fighting? We would suggest lay down your weapons. See if you can't call on the highest powers that you believe in within yourself and into the divine to help your country be strong and powerful, beautiful and free, to fulfill, in a sense, its dream, the American dream. You know, your country has an energy as well as an individual. All of you need to know that your country has a destiny just like you as an individual has your destiny. What is so exciting at this time? Because everyone has voted and the majority has called for change. The opportunity is for a very positive and wonderful change. So dream your changes. Dream what changes you want. Give yourself the opportunity to align yourself and the president to work for you, for your vision. Don't go to sleep if you voted for Obama. Keep up the good work. All right? So to all of you, there's a lot of challenges. And if you are looking for Obama to make mistakes, he probably will make some. You're going to have to, whether you voted for him or against him, to remove the judgment from him, the person, and to participate in this democracy as an informed and empowered citizen. There is so much beauty and wonder ahead. There is so much light and success ahead. It's waiting for you to dream it. It's your choice now. What an exciting time this is. It is as if Obama presented you with an open slate, a sense of undetermined and non-specific opportunity. It is a chaos going on right now. It's like a wild card. Some of you had a difficult time with that, didn't want that, were totally afraid of what that could mean, afraid of the chaos, afraid of the disorder, afraid of the change. But if you know in your own personal life how you respond to change, is how you're going to be able to respond now. And if you can respond to your own personal changes with a certain amount of self-love and a certain amount of grace, you can respond to these changes on the planet more ably than most. There's a lot of chaos. People need some kind of connection, some kind of grounding, some kind of thread, a vision to the future, which you can provide. What an opportunity. The wild card, the opportunity of change, gives you a sense of freedom in creating from scratch, in creating from your imagination of a new world, a new way. All right. So what we'd like to do now is we'd like to open the lines. If you have anyone who wants to ask a question, to give a call, and if you will look on your screen, you will see the phone numbers to call there. So we urge you that if you would like to, give us a call and we will talk with you. There is so much happening on this planet at this time, personally and globally. All right, we have our first caller. Hello.
Hello, Alexis.
Yes.
This is Brian.
Oh, hello, Brian.
From Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
How are you?
All right. And what would you like to ask today?
Well, I had a question for you, and my question is, I've kind of asked this question before, but I just wanted to run it by you and see your perspective from it. My question to you, dear one, is the DNA, which is within the body, which is multidimensional, interdimensional.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, through sound and vibration and toning, can one activate the DNA that's not being used right now within our body for ultrasensory?
Yes, it is. It can be. The critical piece, the piece that needs to be done correctly,
yes.
is that the intention has to be clear, and there has to be a certain, what you might say, expansion of belief system for it to work.
Yes.
Most people could do this, and there are also devices that people are putting together that they feel are, you know, helpful towards this kind of thing. But you see, the DNA has a program of time in it.
Yes.
All right? And if you will look about you at the human race, the relationship of humanity to time, personally and collectively, is very limited still. However,
yeah.
Part of the evolution is to come into a greater connection and a greater awareness of how to work with time, not to be so imprisoned by it.
Yeah.
And so we sense that the key to being able to unlock a lot of the DNA processes, a lot of the codes and the connections and all those kinds of wonderful resources that the DNA hold, has to do, number one, with being able to expand the belief system to where you can recognize that you are in simultaneous time, to be able to stretch into fourth dimension. Now, for an individual to do that means a lot of personal intuitional development, a sense of being able to expand beyond a certain limited sense of order, to be able to continuously bust, you know, whatever boxes or of limitations that one is in, and to move into larger and grander boxes. This process people are doing anyway. But the thing is, is that it's only going to be to a certain point that as people can tune themselves up, can tune their own personal frequencies up so that they can get more in alignment with fourth dimensional and also fifth dimensional consciousness,
yes,
that this DNA will start to make really sense to your scientists.
Yeah.
You see, so we would suggest for you personally at this particular time that the work that you are doing in your personal psychic awareness, your psychic development, learning how to perceive beyond the usual formations of senses, to learn how to use the expanded senses to be able to really get connections to perhaps to the beings and work with beings who work on other levels, dimensions, and other planes, and to do meditations. And you are already doing that. So you are on your way. And we don't see right now a really easy opening to accelerate this beyond what it seems to be going right now. Now,
yeah,
some people are going to catch it, a piece of it, other people are going to catch another piece of it, and you will see in the next 2 to 3 years, a lot of these pieces are going to come together and get interwoven.
Is also working with the spiral energies, like, because when in my meditation, sometimes I'm feeling this tremendous force, like the spiraling effect, like a pulling sensation.
Yes, well, you have to realize the spiraling energy came first, before the DNA.
Ah.
The DNA are a reflection in your physicality of the spiraling energies that,
yeah,
spiral up and down. Now, there really isn't any dimension, direction on the other,
yeah,
side, but up meaning divine, spiraling through the different frequencies down into physicality.
Yeah.
You know, and from physicality back up, there's a communication. The spiraling happens through your chakras.
Hmm.
You know,
that's
and
what
it can happen up and down
observing.
Your spine through your kundalini.
Yeah. That's what I've been feeling sometimes.
Right. Well, that's part of the awakening. And those who have opened their kundalini are finding that they are able to step into and be in fourth dimensional consciousness, so much so that their bodies sometimes, they go for days without sleeping, they don't need to eat, things like that that normal bodies would have to do. It kind of breaks the limitation on what you would consider a body's capacity.
Yes,
and that's part of why we put together and gave a workshop on youthing and aging reversal, was directly to address this particular time limitation issue.
Yes, Galexis, one last thing is, with the spiral energy, how does sometimes our mind likes to kind of, likes the puzzle, likes to try to figure things out, likes to get in the way, the mind. And
yes,
I was wondering, how does one focus when this spiral energy is coming through the body, or like from the chakra downward, or pulling downward or upward, where should I have my mind? Where should I focus?
All right. Well, the thing is if you can, in a sense, what you do is cancel out the mind.
Okay.
And the way you do that is that you fill your attention. Now, you fill your attention with something like a word, or that's why, you know, mantras have been used,
yeah,
for so
mantra,
long. A word,
yeah.
A point of focus.
Okay.
Okay? So you focus on a point. You imagine a light there, perhaps, or you seek a light. You say whatever words hold resonance for you, a kind of mantra, and that tends to, you know, help the mind get, you know, oriented and focused for a brief time. It takes a lot of practice.
Yes.
It's not an easy thing to do anywhere on this planet. Mind is, what they call it, the monkey mind, you know. It's going to jump around.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if you practice, you know, that when the spiraling happens, you find yourself, look for the light. Go looking to your third eye and look for the light. Look for the light.
Yes.
Seek the light. Just as if there's way out there in the distance, there's a little light. As,
yeah,
if you're looking, where is it? Where is it? I want to see it out there. And then say something, a mantra or a word that has power for you.
Yeah, I see that every once in a while, flash or something, yeah.
That's right. That's it. Now, yeah. What will happen is that once you can do that, once you hold your mind in focus, that flash will sustain, and it will be a light, and you'll move to the light.
Ah, I see. So it's like an automatic.
That's where the spiral will take you.
Yes.
All right? And that's what is talked about in the Kundalini and lift and out-of-body travel and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And
very
it takes
exciting.
Also a certain amount of courage to continue to do this because
yeah.
most people are get pretty freaked when it's time for them to leave their body, you know? They don't
That's
know
true.
If they're going to come back or if they're going to get stuck somewhere crazy. So, you know, it takes a development. That's all right there.
Okay. Well,
all right.
Thank
well, thank you,
so
you
much.
Dear one.
Thank you, and God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye.
To you, too, as well, and farewell. All right. So we're opening up the line again for another caller. As we are pointing out with Ryan, you can really channel your focus, your attention. And since we were talking about the election and focusing on your dream, why not use the same technique, in a sense, to see your vision kind of in a, what you might say, a tableau, right? In the old days, you know, actors would do a tableau, and it would be an imitation of a great painting. And so people would hold this picture for people to focus upon. Use that as to focus upon it and see it as bright as you can and move towards it in your meditation. That can help a lot. All right, we have another caller, and hello.
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 Very nice to get through to you finally. I've called for weeks.
Oh, very good, very good.
My name's June.
June. All right, well, welcome. We're so glad to be able to speak with you. What would you like to discuss today?
I would like to discuss this place that I think I'm going to when I meditate, but I'm not sure if it's real or if I'm just kidding myself.
All right, could you describe it?
Well, I have a sacred place where I go, and it's a pond. I call it the pond of unconditional love, and then I have a guardian angel. You know what I mean? I've made up this meditation, but it feels so real when I go there.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you're there, and sometimes the team is there from Jackie's show.
Yeah.
And
good, good.
The Marys, Mary Magdalene, or whoever I invite show up, and they kind of work with me and give me answers, but I'm afraid I'm just kidding myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, we would suggest that the one who's telling you that you're kidding yourself, look out which self that is. All right?
The skeptic.
That's what we would call the doubter.
Right.
The critic. You know, the one that says, well, we don't trust that whatever you're doing is really smart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Here you are. You know, you're off on the deep end again.
Exactly.
So, you know, who started all of that crap, yeah, in your life? Look at it this way. You know, you've been not what we would say your average run-of-the-mill, middle-of-the-road person.
No, no.
You've just been off on this other level and frequency all your life.
Yes.
And so, of course, it was very painful for you when you were much younger.
Yes.
You know, because you didn't have anyone to talk to.
Yes.
You know, you were, in a sense, isolated. And so you doubted yourself. And if you told anyone, you know, they would have looked at you like you were kind of crazy.
Yes.
And so you didn't want that to happen either. So you basically kept yourself very hidden.
Exactly.
So now that you're coming to this place to where you're actually feeling something, it's like this is putting it on the line. Do you really feel something, or are you just making it up and in la-la land, you know?
Exactly.
All right, what we want to point out to you is this, and this is something most people are not well aware of, because, you know, you've spent a lot of time seeking to be more, seeking the love, seeking the expansion of light in your life,
mm-hmm.
and we want to point out that as you get closer and closer to the other side, you will find that it becomes realer and realer and realer. And the interesting thing is that you can imagine something, and your imagination kind of on its own takes off in a very realistic way. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
All right? that is a sign that you're getting close to the other side. Close, you're having a connection that is connecting you and linking you to the energies of the other side. Because when you actually step out of the physical body into your astral plane experience, when you actually do out-of-body work, it is actually more real than on the physical. You see, you've been told all your life that this is real and that's illusion. But that is actually real and this is the illusion.
So you this see? Place I go, is that astral? Is that astral?
Yes, yes. You go into astral plane.
Ah.
And you're experiencing astral plane. You're not fully there yet, but you are starting to experience the energies of there. And what's interesting, of course, is on a physical level, you can talk to, call Mary Magdalene, but she can't show up because she doesn't have a physical form.
Mm-hmm.
But on the astral, everyone can come
mm-hmm.
connect with you.
Mm-hmm.
And they will come and connect with you in the form that works for you.
Right, right,
right.
That I can express and relate to, yes.
Right, so you can make up, you know, what you know, these various beings look like. You can give them clothes, and,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and you can give them height and hair color and eye color and all sorts of things.
And this work on the astral is actually helping me in the physical, like the healings I do to let go of trauma and everything.
Yes, because what's happening is that you're channeling energies that are more real. They have a greater depth of impact than energies that are just on the physical. And so, of course, then when you're working with your attention connected and directed into the physical plane, and you're using energies of the astral plane or other
mm-hmm.
dimensions or other planes, then whatever you're using, whatever access you have, will intensify and make more real your healing process. So it just, and it also increases your capacity to make more connection and better connection.
With like my future self, could I invite my future self there and then
exactly.
connect with that? And yeah. Is
right.
that the best place I can be working right now to become a channel for light on this planet?
What do you mean by the best place?
That this astral place, is this the best mode for me to be working with to become...
Oh, you mean the unconditional love pond?
Yes.
Oh, well, have you gone in there and gotten yourself drenched in it yet?
Yes.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
It's so nice.
But that's where we would suggest that you go, because you have to really undo a lot of damage that was done to you.
Yes.
You were not... You did not receive unconditional acceptance,
mm-hmm.
right, and love. So this is part of your healing process for you, so that you can unconditionally accept and love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this is the place that you have gone to.
Okay.
All right? And so for right now, yes, until you get to a place to where you no longer have a sense of doubt about who you are,
okay,
that you can work with this. Now, you'll always have a sense that you could be more. That's a different factor.
Okay.
But you do want to accept where you are, and to accept that you are a powerful, loving reality creator who's come here to share the light and to do some big work.
It feels like I'm supposed to do some big work, and I really want to be as clear and do it. I want to do it.
Right,
this
right.
Is the
That's
best
fantastic.
Path to it.
That's fantastic. The thing is that for you to see the exact form it's going to take, like right now you're doing healings, yes?
I'm doing paintings that create healings.
Paintings that create healings, fantastic.
Can you look at them? I sent one to your channel, Ginger.
Oh, yes. Very beautiful. Absolutely.
Thank you.
And very inspirational. So what we would suggest here is that pond of unconditional love is getting you to a place where you can channel cleanly, purely the love that's in you.
Exactly.
And when that happens, you're going to feel that as you get closer and closer to that, it's going to get clearer and clearer what form your work is going to take, or what place you need to, let's say,
mm-hmm.
advertise, or what people you need to connect with. More magic will happen. But it's a process of really getting you to the place to where you can unconditionally love yourself. And you're not quite there.
Okay.
All right? Well, that's a beautiful place. There will come a time, okay, we're going to make a prediction for you. There's going to come a time where you will get to a place to where this unconditional love pond is going to be so wonderful, and you're going to feel so good, and you're going to feel so much love and joy all through your life and all through your day, that when you go to find this unconditional love pond in your meditations, you're going to find someone there who's going to beckon to you and is going to take you to other places.
Ah.
And those other places for you to go to link up with specific beings for specific purposes will open to you.
Oh, wonderful.
So you're basically, what you're doing is getting your vibrational energies ramped up in preparation for this, for you to get linked with those beings you're going to work with specifically, and the particular foci you're going to work on as far as your own personal destiny work.
Yes, thanks.
All right.
I'm so glad.
This, you couldn't be in a better place right now.
Well, I invite you to meet me there.
All right. All right. Well, all you have to do is think our name, and we'll be there.
I'll do that.
All right. It's a wonderful pleasure speaking with you.
It's wonderful to hear you, too. Thank you.
You're very welcome, dear one. So farewell. All right. So you see, now the phones are open now for another caller. You can see that unconditional love is a kind of a toughie for most everyone. After all, when you are born here, you are conditioned, absolutely conditioned to be shamed, to feel inadequate, to be put down, to be diminished, and to, in a sense, have to work against the flow just to stand on your own, just to own who you are to a certain amount, just to kind of respect yourself in the whole process. So for any of you who want to expand and to the greatest extent possible, loving yourself is probably the biggest key, the biggest help. And it wouldn't hurt any of you to also go to a meditation and find a pond of unconditional love for you. All right, we have another caller. Hello?
Hi, Alexis.
Hi.
I have some questions about some of the things you talked about earlier.
All right.
I'm going to express my feeling that, and I know that they, you know, I guess I just want to say, I'm going to tell you how I feel. It doesn't mean I think it's right.
Oh, all right.
I'm really angry that I have a monkey mind. I'm really angry that I have an ego that makes me separate from other people. I'm really angry that there are all these devices in place that I have to fight against all the time. And can you shed some light on why everybody's always trying to overcome their ego, quiet their mind? Why do we have to be faced with these kinds of challenges?
All right. Well, we want to point out that when you chose initially to become physical, you realized that you needed some way to function on the physical plane.
Okay.
All right? And so you utilized mind and you to create boundaries of thought, boundaries of belief. You utilized mind to look at ideas and do some creation. All right? So this illusion, this panoply of options and possibilities that you've laid out here in your life was done with the work of mind, right? Now, there is a higher mind, of course, and a lower mind, but what happened was is that initially it was a very beautiful experience. You came down and it was just okay. You know, this is the way it can be. This is how glorious it can be. And then you adopted also an ego, and the ego's function is to help you find your boundaries between yourself and others, and also to be able to give and receive on the physical plane. If you didn't have an ego, there would be no giver nor any receiver. You see, the distinctions and the boundaries, so that you would know when an energy exchange has been made, it goes to the ego. Its function is to bring you what you desire and its function, therefore, is to take for what you wish to give others, and in a sense, their egos will bring them. You see, so it had a very useful function. But you see, you are in a free will universe, and so when you chose to come into the physical plane, you chose to experience lots of different energies. You chose to experience lots of different possibilities. And in these different possibilities, you chose dark emotions as well as light emotions. You chose to experience more pain rather than, you know, and more fear and more anger rather than, you know, necessarily just more happiness and joy. You began to create challenges that were dark instead of exciting, you know, energizing challenges. And so there was no interference with this. There was no intervention made because being that it was a free will universe, it's totally up to you to explore anything you wish to explore. But it kind of got out of hand here in a way. You decided you were going to explore shame. Shame is the feeling that you are flawed, that you're worthless, that you're worth nothing, that you're pretty much a prisoner on some kind of prison planet because you're a bad, you know, soul or whatever. Shame can take a person down to the utmost depths, the furthest distance from the experience of the divine that there is. And you decided at some point to explore shame as well, right? And there's no judgment here about it. It was part of the whole range of experience you wanted to have. All right? So what you ended up with is realizing once you got into all that shame and pain and difficulties and so on, at some point you said, hey, wait a minute. I don't want to live this way. Right?
Exactly. That's why I'm right this minute. I've had enough. But every time I try to say I am worthy, my ego says, you know, you can't be worthy because you're bad or blah, blah, blah. Like, my ego fights me. It's like, isn't my ego supposed to serve me, you know?
Well, the thing is that when you sought out shame, you basically gave up your throne of light. Instead of being the one who made the choices in your reality, the one who interpreted things, the one who created the ideas and the beliefs and so forth, you abandoned yourself. And what you did is that you ended up giving it over to ego. So the ego took on the role. So the ego became the master. Ego became the internalized critic, the internalized parent figure. The ego is the one who encourages you to martyr yourself, to sacrifice yourself, to fail. The ego then took over all of those jobs. But the ego was not mature. The ego was not a light being. The ego just was doing it out of a very limited perspective from you who was holding all the beliefs around shame. You see? So the ego can't function outside of the limits that you, you know, set. So if you are going to release the power of the ego over you, you have to step out of the remnants of shame. Because if you say, I am worthy, and you feel it and you know it, that you deserve love, you deserve prosperity, you deserve light in your life. When you get to the fullness of realizing this and really owning it, the ego cannot get in your way. It cannot, because when you set the resonance, when you set the frequencies, the ego can chatter and yamma yamma all it wants and say all the most despicable things, and you will just laugh at it. You won't take it seriously, and eventually it has to follow what you hold to be true.
So is the ego just a device, or does it have a consciousness?
Well, it's kind of like what we call a thought form. And so
okay.
A thought form, once you give it so much depth, once you give it so much power, then it becomes like a presence. It's like almost becomes like a being. You can relate to your ego as if it were a being of its own. And you can fight it, or you can just basically take your power back from it. So when the ego tells you, you know, when you say I'm worthy and ego says, oh yeah, right, sure, ha ha ha, you're just pathetic, you blah, 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 then you take your power back from the ego.
How do you do that? Like, is there an exercise or a...
Right, there's a very simple technique, really. The main thing is that you have to be consciously aware that of those voices coming from the ego, which is the one who is now interpreting everything to where the interpretation is you being the victim, you being the miserable person, you being pathetic. That's the interpretation. And you chose that interpretation initially, and so the ego just repeats it. The ego and the subconscious mind get together. And the subconscious mind is the one who makes sure that everything is repetitive and consistent. So once you really get into the whole dark energy, then your subconscious mind maintains it as a kind of momentum, and the negative ego maintains the boundaries of it. So in order to get out, you have to make a choice, and you have to step out, and you have to expand your boundaries, and you have to say to the ego and to the subconscious, this is my new choice, this is the new way it is. But you have to be conscious that you originally gave the power over to them. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So step one is for you to remember or to recognize or to know that you gave your power away to them. Okay? Second step is to say, since you gave your power away at some point in the past, you may not remember the incident, and they've been, you know, lording it over you ever since, you can take your power back.
Okay.
All right? And so basically, as soon as you recognize, hey, you know, I could take my power back, then all you have to do is say, power, return to me. It's your power. You just take it back. You just say, return to me. Power, return to me. And you can just take an in-breath like this and just kind of suck it back into you, into your place of power, which can be your chest, your heart. It can be in your solar plexus, in your stomach area. It can be in your third eye, wherever you feel you have a place of power in your body. You just bring it back in there and claim it for yourself. This is my power to make this choice. It's my power to choose if I am worthy or not. You see?
Okay.
All right. Then the next step is for you to set the new rules.
Uh-huh.
And you set the new rules. Okay, this is who I am. And you set it by determining who you are. Here, I am a light being. I am worthy. I am powerful. I am capable. I am loving. I am, you know, competent person. You know, pull yourself together in what you see yourself as desiring to be, and you claim that, and all the objections they may make, you just say, well, power, return to me, and I choose this, and I expect you to go along with it, because you're my assistants. You're not my masters.
Okay.
All right? So when you get beliefs, the most important and most critical one is when you get beliefs. When you change a belief by choice, then this has a huge ripple effect throughout the whole system, throughout your mind, throughout your ego. A whole change goes on there.
Yeah, and that's like the last frontier is I have this belief that I'm bad and dangerous, and that's why I've been cutting myself off from everything to save myself.
You have a belief that you're dangerous? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I have this belief that if I have power or money or anything at all, that I'll use it to destroy myself at first.
Oh, well, you know, you've done that before. You've been there, done that. You don't have to do it again.
Right.
Okay, you've had a lifetime with or more than that. And just about everybody who has a spiritual power and feels a sense of spiritual purpose in this lifetime has been there at least once. Right? So yeah, maybe you did that then. But do you have to do it now? No. It's your choice to do it now or not. You want to bring your life into choice, right? You see, the thing is, if you don't trust yourself, if you think you're going to get to become a power maniac, you are basically, the ego is playing you, you know, to the nth degree. because, dear one, when you look at your life, when have you ever been tempted, really, to be a power maniac? Have you? Have you ever really wanted to go around and say nasty things to people and manipulate them and control them?
Not aggressively. Sometimes in defense, I have been really, you know, had horrible thoughts about what I would do to people, but it was mostly because they'd hurt me first, you know.
Right, right. Yeah, that is, you know, that's your anger. That's a feeling of powerless rage, perhaps, in you. That needs to be processed, and that can be processed just fine through a meditation where you find the person and you tell them off in meditation and you blow them up a few times and kick them around and obliterate them and then bring them back and forgive them and be done with them. And that's a very empowering process. And so that's just part of the processing. But we want to point out, it's not your nature and not your temperament to want to lord it over everybody. So when the ego is telling you, yeah, but if you have power and if you have this and you have that, you're going to be one, you know, nasty person, you can say no. You see?
Yeah, it's hard. I've seen a lot of evidence to the contrary. You know, people who seem all right the minute that they get access to anything powerful, then they go to town, you know, and who cares about anyone else? I see that a lot.
Right, but you see, from a spiritual perspective, the way the unfoldment is happening on the planet at this time, and the way you are unfolding at this time, we don't sense you're going to be the least bit tempted. Why? Because you've been watching it happen all along. And what have you been saying to yourself? Oh, I hope I don't get like that.
Yeah, it's ugly. It doesn't interest me.
No, it doesn't. And so you're going to get money, power, fame, whatever, and it's just not going to interest you to be there.
Okay, that's great.
You see? And so when the ego comes in and fills you with this fear, you can say, well, you know, I've seen these people who've done that, and I realize that's just not my style, so I'm not going to do it. So there.
Right.
You see, the point is that you have to take your power back. You are the one that they came to assist.
Right.
You see, and of course, taking your power back from monkey mind and taking your power back from ego, it takes a certain amount of discipline for yourself. To discipline your focus and your awareness and your attention to know when you're going unconscious and letting the ego and the mind just take over and blather, or when you're letting them determine your boundaries or letting them determine your vision of the future. And you just have to take it back. Power, return to me. Power, return to me. And you see, once you hold your power and once you hold your light, you can love your ego. Instead of battling it and fighting it, because it wants to win, and it'll fight you all day, 24/7. It can make you very ill. So you want to fight. You don't want to fight in a sense of a knockdown, drag out, nasty battle. You want to stop the battle. Basically, you can love your ego and forgive your ego, and your ego is still pissed at you. Why is your ego pissed at you? Because you gave your ego too much to do. You gave your ego all your power and you walked away. Ego didn't know what to do with it. So all it did was, okay, this person thinks that they're a real schmuck and real horrible person, so we'll just continue that interpretation on everything in their life. And by golly, it serves them right, too, says the ego. You see, the ego is really annoyed at you for having given them such a huge job. All right, but you take your work back, you take your work, your choices back from the ego, and you take all the interpretations of your reality back from the ego. Then you can love the ego and forgive the ego, and the ego may, you know, eventually one of these days the ego may forgive you. But then what will happen, though, instead, is that as you become bright, as you become powerful, as you become free to make choices and to love yourself unconditionally, and really, really value yourself, what you'll find is that you will discover that coming to your support in your reality with more magic than you had ever expected before is your positive ego. And this is the one that's functioning the way it was supposed to. It was meant to. You see? You'll say, this is what I would like to have in my life, and voila, this and that opens up, the door opens up for that, somebody calls you, this opportunity shows up, just like magic, so that you can have what you want. That's the positive ego, you see?
So I went through this whole arc of stepping away and now reclaiming. I did that all on purpose, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you did. You wanted to go out and explore reality, and then you decided you wanted to come back, to back home, and to remember who you were and do your work and do your light work and bring in all this great consciousness, and then you're going to go back home to God, Goddess, all that is, to the oneness and glory. Okay?
Great.
All right, dear one. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
And farewell. All right. And so we do appreciate those who have called today, and we do suggest that you, you know, go and look on our website and get our message, which is going to come up on the homepage. It's galexisspirit.com. So just show up there on your computer, galexisspirit.com, and you will find a beautiful message to remind you who you are, who you really are. And if you just think of that every day, and you can call us also at night, anytime that you would like, and we will come and we will work with you. We come as a column of light from the stars to surround you as you go to sleep at night. Just say Galexis and we'll come down and surround you. And you can ask us for something and we will hold you and we will, you know, work on whatever you would like for us to work on through the night. So it has been our pleasure speaking with all of you. And until the next radio show, or until you come to one of our workshops or listen to us on CD, then we would like to say farewell. And it has been a wonderful experience speaking with all of those beautiful ones who have called and all of you who have listened. It has been our pleasure speaking with you. So farewell for now.